lunchtime on a Thursday with a huge, huge schedule of sports tonight. We're going to get you set for all of them here. We're going to catch up with you on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. We're going to jump into a few things here, Stoke. I want to start with some Broncos, though. We talked earlier about Drake May and MPJ's pro day, Michael Penix Jr., and the Broncos having some folks there. I want to do a fun exercise here. Hypotheticals, if you will. So Caleb Williams, we know, is going to Chicago. That's locked and loaded. That's going down. J.J. McCarthy, for this exercise, we're going to put him in Washington because that's all the buzz right now. He's climbing the ladders. That looks to be a play. So we got Caleb Williams in Chicago. We got J.J. McCarthy in Washington. Let's throw Jaden Daniels on the Patriots. Third pick right there. So far lining up, right?
Yeah.
Drake May goes to Minnesota. Let's say Bo Nix lands in Denver, and now there's been enough mocks that I feel comfortable of going, hey, let's put MPJ in Las Vegas in this mock, in this, okay, this exercise. So Caleb, Chicago, JJ, Washington, Jaden, New England, Drake May, Minnesota, Bo Nix, Denver, Penix, the Raiders. If those things were to come true, and I think Penix is maybe a wild card on here because they did sign, they signed Minshew, right? And not sure that they just give him the gig. But if those things were to come true, who wins more games? Who's better in year one? Who is more NFL ready, I guess, from the jump of those quarterbacks landing with those football teams?
Oh, okay. You got to look at the rosters.
Yeah.
Broncos roster, not very good.
No, it's not.
Okay, so I'm not going to go with the Broncos for sure.
Okay.
I'll go... I like the Bears roster. I think it's much improved over the last year, and they got a lot of picks. They've spent some money. They're trying to help their quarterback out. Washington's not a bad roster. It was better a year or two ago. It's kind of on the decline now. I'll go Chicago.
Chicago's number one.
I'll go Chicago. Minnesota, I don't know what it's going to look like there. You know, will it be, you know, Sam Darnold to start? And then they play the rookie quarterback. So I'm not sure if that guy starts right away. I think Chicago, Caleb Williams is a starter right away. They got Keenan Allen. They got DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. So they've done it. They've spent some money, and they're trying to help Cole Kmet's a good tight end.
They might get one of those top wide receivers at nine, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going Bears there. How about you?
All right, I'm going to go. You mentioned them there, but I'm going Minnesota. And because exactly what you talked about, you went through the exercise there of roster and what it is. And then, I mean, Justin Jefferson is obviously the name that comes to the front of your mind first and foremost. But they had the kid out of USC, Addison, right?
Yep.
Who was a stud, man. And he's only going to get better learning the game a bit more in the NFL level. So I also like Kevin O'Connell more than I do Matt Eberflus there in Chicago. And Eberflus getting another chance here, and you know, hopefully he makes the most of it for you Bears fans out there. But Kevin O'Connell, to me, is a better offensive mind, can do more with the roster that is in front of him, and he has the best wide receiver, maybe 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call him, in the NFL. So Minnesota, but I kind of have it as, like you, like Minnesota and then Chicago. Sounds like you kind of had like Chicago, then Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. So it's... those are probably, I think when you look at it, the best rosters around the quarterback are those two teams.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think out there, and where would Denver fall in this this power rankings of year one quarterbacks? I also look at it, and you said Minnesota, in this exercise Drake May goes there. I guess if you're Caleb Williams, you're starting day one. If you're J.J. McCarthy and you land in Washington, you're probably starting day one.
Yeah.
And if you're Jaden Daniels and you land in New England, you're starting day one.
Yeah, probably so. I don't know who Washington has now. Do they sign, is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Or where did he end up?
Oh, I don't know.
Did he go to the, I think he went to the Rams.
I think
maybe
he did go to the Rams, you're right.
I don't know who Washington has. Did they, Mariota?
Mariota's who they signed, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I think Washington definitely starting right away. New England, not sure. They got Brissett. Maybe they start him for a few weeks. Who knows? But yeah, you'd probably think that all three of those guys would be starting right away.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I still feel that way about Bo Nix with the Broncos. I if Bo Nix lands in Denver.
And you take him at 12?
At 12, at 22, at whatever he ends up.
You didn't move up to get him, you just...
You just, yeah, okay. You either stay pat or you acquired more picks and he lands. And it's because it's the Peyton thing in Indy. We all know what the year is going to be. Let's get this ball rolling. Let's let him experience the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, everything that's going to come with being an NFL quarterback. Like, just get it going.
Well, see, I disagree a little bit there. And I know what you're saying. And, yeah, I want the guy to play. You want to get him experience. But I don't think it's a blanket statement for every young quarterback. You just throw him in there right away. Because, like, it can do some harm if that guy's not ready. If he's in over his head early, it can do some damage there, whether it be confidence, whether it just mechanics, all those things. And I don't want to have a guy have to fight through that. And obviously you're going to have usually some growing pains and you're going to have some adversity, which that's just part of it. You got to fight through it. I get that. But it might be week three, week four. I'm not going into the season saying this guy's got to start week one.
All right.
I want to be flexible in that situation. I would like for the guy to start week one and play, but hey, maybe it's week four. Okay, week five. At some point, you need to get him in there, though.
How much I'm going to Sam Darnold right away, or even a guy like Zach Wilson, both Jets quarterbacks, like you can do some damage by getting it too early, and then, I guess I'll lean on you for that. Like, you form these habits that are hard to break with some of that stuff. Is that the downfall of it? You see ghosts. You turn into a guy that's never going to return to the form you were before.
Exactly.
All right.
I mean, that's it, right? I mean, we heard, who was it, Sam Darnold talking about seeing ghosts?
Yeah.
Against the Patriots. So it's like all of a sudden you lose your confidence and then you start, you know, your mechanics take a back seat and then you're all out of whack. And so now it's like hard to get back going again. And you don't want to do that if it's possible to stay away from that. Certainly, you got to play at some point.
Yeah.
You got to get out there and do it. That's the only real way to get better. But like anything else in life, all of a sudden, if things aren't going your way, what happens? Like when I'm on the golf course, let's just say, bring it back to me.
Yeah, bring it back to me,
right? I mean, it's always a better story when it's about me.
Sure.
So in my life,
yeah.
Right? When I'm on the golf course, like, when things are going good, like, oh.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
So about three times a summer, go ahead.
Right, yes, yeah. Right. Maybe five, okay. Maybe five. The other 55, this is what happens, yeah. Right? So you're on the first tee box, you hit a ball here, and then you hit a bad shot here, then you hit a bad shot there, and then now guess what I'm doing? I'm changing my grip, I'm changing my stance, I'm changing my swing thought, I'm changing this, I'm changing that, right? And I get to the end of the round, I'm like, what the hell did I just do? Like, and then guess what? Then the next round, I'm trying something different. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So, like, these young quarterbacks, could you imagine? All of a sudden, like, and I'm not getting hit in the face.
True.
Like, you know, these guys are getting crushed, right, and things are moving so fast. So now what are they doing? They're changing up this. They're changing up that. They're not even thinking about, like, where the blitz is coming from. And, I mean, so it's a lot. It's a lot. And you don't want to kill their confidence. You don't want to kill their just their fundamentals and all that stuff just goes out of the window at a certain point when you're in over your head. Put them in when they're ready to go, and there'll be some adversity there, and hopefully they fight through it.
I get that part of it, and of course you feel like, you know, Sam Darnold is the easiest example. Like, you put him in too early, and then he's broken and ruined forever. And you see, you know, what was the morning show call it? Quarterback rehab in San Francisco, go up there and see now what he looks like after his first experiences. But I'd be willing to take that risk.
Okay. All right. You really don't care about his psyche. You really don't care.
No.
If he's not ready, he's not ready. And just like we screwed. I want to be careful and make sure that we do it the right way. But you look at some of these quarterbacks, look at a guy like, and another thing here is, you need things good around the quarterback, right? You don't want to put a quarterback in an awful situation. And I think that's a very, because you want to make things easy for the guy, as easy as possible. And so you look at a guy like Geno Smith, right? I think he was a second round pick, early second round pick maybe. He had an awful situation with the Jets. They throw him out there. He's terrible, whatever. Now he gets some football rehab, goes to a much better situation, and he's a serviceable quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a guy like Sam Darnold, we'll see what he looks like now. Better situation with the Vikings than he was with the Jets this year. So this stuff happens to where, you know, all of a sudden the quarterback can go and they can kind of just take a deep breath, and there's not so much pressure coming on them and just take a step back. And then if they go to a situation where they have better talent around them, obviously Geno's got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you know, a good running back there, and Penny, and a few good tight ends there. Much better situation than he had with the Jets. And so I relate that to a little bit like my guy Zach Wilson.
Okay.
You know, yeah. and his situation there with the Jets. And, you know, we'll see if the Broncos end up pulling the trigger for him and try to make a move to bring him in also. But, you know, you look at those situations and it can be difficult for a young quarterback. They start pressing, they don't have talent around them, and it just snowballs from there.
All right, we're going to get back to that conversation. I just thought it was interesting to see if that's where it lines up, kind of our feelings of what it could look like come, you know, kickoff of the 2024 NFL season. I want to talk about the Nuggets. Tough one last night. They dropped to the Suns 104-97, just their third loss post-All-Star break. Two of them have come at the hands of these Suns. They're also held to under 100. They're at 97 points. It's just the third time this entire season they've not scored 100 at Ball Arena. Brought Joker back, made a run, cut it to four at one point with a run in the third quarter. But, man, Phoenix Stoke was in control of that game basically wire to wire. And Coach Malone talked about one of the big, big reasons they lost after the game.
The offensive rebounding has been by far our Achilles heel since the All-Star break. I think we're 29th in second chance points allowed. And against that team, they don't miss very often. So when they do miss, you have to secure the rebound to give yourself a chance on the other end.
Now, I'd hate to be the guy that questions an NBA championship-level head coach of Michael Malone, but. If my team was lacking in rebounding and I had a guy that was 6'11", 270 over there on the bench, like DeAndre Jordan is,
right,
I might throw him into the game. Yeah. Just me.
Right, that might be a good follow-up question. Coach?
Right.
Josh Dover here from Stokely and Josh, 10 to 2,
yeah.
104.3 The Fan. Question for you. you're struggling offensive rebound-wise. You know, how about getting, I don't know, let's say, Peyton Watson out of the game and put in DeAndre Jordan,
yeah,
you know, when Jokic isn't in. Obviously, yeah, it cost them last night in a big way. Too many second-chance points, and every time it seemed like, okay, yep, they got an offensive rebound. Okay, someone's going to drain a three, and they did. They took advantage of those opportunities, and that's a game right there. Think about, like, just two or three of those. That's 8-9 points.
Right.
I mean, that's a ball game. I mean, that's what it is. And so it's just a few rebounds. And sometimes, Josh, look, the ball just bounces bad.
Yeah.
Just bounces their way. I mean, heck, it was, oh, my gosh, this makes me sick right now. Sick to my stomach right now. It was before half. Before half. And they throw up this prayer. And I want to make sure it was before half and not the fourth quarter. It might be the fourth quarter. When they hit the buzzer beater there. Yeah, it was offensive rebound, Thaddeus Young, right before half.
Oh, yep.
And it was Jokic right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him a little push,
yeah,
and Thaddeus Young went right over him and then threw it up there as the clock was expiring. But that would have been Jokic's 10th rebound, too. Mm. But that was an offensive rebound, right, just like that. But it was a bad bounce. I mean, it bounced over Jokic's head. He couldn't do and got shoved a little bit. But sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way. The puck doesn't go in the net. It hits the post. It hits the skate of the goalie. You know, just things like that. And that's kind of how some of those were. Obviously, you had one, like you had three guys there or something, and you know, and just they're fighting over it, and they don't get it, and the Suns get it. So it's some of it was on the Nuggets, and some of it was just some bad bounces.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's still what are we talking about, 16-3 or whatever they are now post-All-Star break. It's two losses to the Suns, and that kind of hurts the most out of it, but they didn't play great basketball. They were without Jamal Murray. I know that the Suns were without Nurk, but Soak, I'd make the argument that the Suns might be better without Nurk on the floor, especially when they want to do what they're doing offensively with Bradley, Devin, and Kevin. Nurk makes it tough for spacing. He's kind of clumsy, always seems to be in the way. And his defense, high pick and roll, isn't great, but he does play Nikola a little bit better, but he always gets in foul trouble when he's doing it.
Always fouls out.
In fact, he's fouled out in three of the last six games they've played, and then the other three had five fouls and had to limit his minutes to keep him from fouling out. So I actually think they're better when he's not on the floor for spacing. It was, what's the young dude, Eubanks?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nikola should have been eating him up all day.
Good old Drew.
Drew Eubanks there.
Yeah.
But I'm still, I'm just not that afraid of the Phoenix Suns, man.
I know. I don't know. I'm like Mike Malone here. I'm a little bit nervous, Nelly.
Yeah.
About a lot of these teams in the West, because if you have a couple off nights, I mean, they'll make you pay. You know, it's and the bench, man. Wow, golly. I mean, they were shooting like your 40 and over rec league team. Holy cow.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's like, can we make a shot? Like, this is what you do, Colin Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. You have got to be able to shoot the rock. Look at yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a knockdown shooter, then basketball ain't for you, brother. Mm-hmm. NBA basketball ain't for you. Yeah. I hate to say it. Those are the facts. And he started off good. I'm like, oh, I see you. Okay, let's go, baby. And then the second half is like, oh, my gosh. This guy lost all his confidence. And you brought it up earlier, and you were spot on. And he airballed one or bricked one, and then he didn't want to shoot after that. And there was a possession there where he's wide open for a shot, and Jokic just passes to him, and he passes it right back to Jokic. Jokic's like, dude, they got five guys on me, bro. And he passed it back to him, and he stinking airballed. He's like, all right, get him on the bench. But seriously, you got to be able to hit those shots if you're Colin Gillespie, mm-hmm. if you want playing time. And he's getting some now, but just not good enough. Reggie Jackson, you know, 1 for 7 from three. Not even close to being good enough.
Nope.
Michael Porter Jr., 2 for 7 from three. And, of course, every time Jokic passes him the dang ball, he misses. If someone else passes it, he makes it. The ball's up in the air. Jokic is going up for it. Oh, Michael Malone out of nowhere. Look at him skying high for
Porter,
the rebound.
Porter.
Yeah, Michael Malone. Michael Porter Jr. skying high. Look at him going to get that rebound. Like, no one's around, of course.
Right.
Like, dude, don't you know we're trying to get a triple-double here? Have some awareness. And just out of sorts, out of whack. I mean, it's like, goodness gracious. They pass up wide-open threes. They take two dribbles. And then they're guarded, and then they chunk it up, or they turn it over. Mm-hmm. It's like, just shoot the shot right when you get the ball. It was frustrating. It was frustrating, and obviously they've been balling, but it was just so frustrating. But that bench, man, that could be a serious, serious issue in the playoffs.
15 points last night. 15. Lowest scoring bench is the Chicago Bulls in the league, and they give you about 26 a night. Denver's bench had 15 last night in the loss. So you're right. Playoff rotations will shorten that. But, man, you still have to have those guys come in and not be the liability that they have been in a few games after this All-Star break. So.
There was no scores out there.
No.
Like, you looked up there, I don't know, second quarter or whatever. Might have been late in the first. But you look up there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You had Reggie Jackson. You had, like, Peyton Watson, Gillespie, Brown, and Strother.
I'm yeah.
like, holy bleepity bleep bleep. Okay, maybe a couple guys make shots, and it's like clank, 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 air, clank.
Yeah.
Like, oh, down 18. This, oh, wow, okay. You just got to be able to score the basketball, man. It was brutal last night.
They were bad last night. Didn't score, couldn't rebound, and that led to the L. Thanks to the Phoenix Suns. All right, it's been a nice week down at Ball Arena because we get to go every other night. Nugs, Avs. Tonight, it is the Avs, and they'll host the Rangers. 7 o'clock puck drop. Stoke, they can get their playoff berth clinched tonight. The Avalanche can clinch a playoff berth if they beat the Rangers in any fashion, overtime, regular regulation, and the Blues lose to the Flames in any fashion. If they get 1 point versus the Rangers and the Wild lose, and the Blues lose, they still punch their ticket. So go win, and you're punching your ticket.
Yeah, we got a little bit of news that's like, oh, you know, Georgie not at morning skate.
Yeah.
And so, like, not sure what's going on there. Spivak thinks it might be a little bit sick. What's the update we have?
He is going to Jesse Montano of Gorilla Sports, says he is in net tonight.
He is in net,
yes.
though. Okay.
Yes.
So must not be anything serious. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Need to try to get back on track. Tough loss. You know what? I'm confident they will.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm confident about? How they start. We've talked all year about comebacks, and they're down, and they can figure it out. And I'm confident because it's something that Jared Bednar isolated after the last loss.
I like the way our team's defended, but like for the, not in the first period against Pitt, not in the first period tonight. And tonight it cost us, right? Like they go up one on us, and we fight the whole game trying to get it back. And their goalie played well, and we missed on some really good opportunities, and we don't get the equalizer. You know, we had to fight the whole game to try and get it.
So if he's putting an emphasis on the first period and coming out strong, I think that the team responds in that exact way.
Okay. And, you know, the thing was, last game they did. I mean, McKenna scored 43 seconds.
That's right.
And then, like he said, they gave up a goal 9 seconds. I'll do the math for Mark here. That's 9 seconds later. They gave up the goal to Suzuki there to tie it up, mm-hmm. and then they gave up a later goal in the first. So, like, overall in the first, yeah. And it wasn't good enough against Pittsburgh, obviously, falling behind that game. But, like, you actually started the game really fast. It's hard to start faster than what they started. 43 seconds in, you got a goal against a bad team. You're at home. You're like, oh, we're about to roll. And they just – it was one of those games. And you know, give credit to Montreal. And we didn't get the bounces and the breaks there. And, all right, it is what it is. And but I do. I think they're going to bounce back tonight. I don't know what the lines are there. But I'm not touching your
come on, Mikko.
No.
I got to go with Mikko again tonight.
But Mikko and Val?
Nope.
Oh,
nope,
okay. So you're adjusting. calling an audible.
Mikko's dealing with or not Mikko. Val's got the
that's right. That's right.
Lower body injury.
He's got the lower body. Yeah. You like Mikko to do what?
He's going to score a goal tonight.
Score a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, maybe I could get down on that. Right. I don't know what the line is on that.
I'll find out.
Maybe you got to sprinkle something else in there, or you just like that?
No, I would do that. And, I mean, it's a home game, so if you want to sprinkle, get a McKinnon point in there, or maybe even over the – it's usually 1.5 for Nate, and I feel good about that too.
Okay.
So maybe it's a Mikko goal and 2 for Nate, 2 points tonight. Keep that streak alive that you care so much about.
Yeah, the home streak.
It's your favorite thing, I know.
Yeah. I'm not as mad on that one as some of the other ones.
Okay.
That made up like, you know, like cool or not cool – records or stats that people just throw out there, and they do it in every sport. We see it in football, and it's like, really? I mean, come on. Are we trying that hard? But this one's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like, so I'm not mad at that stat.
And plus, like, keep this, what, Drew, is it at 19 games, his point streak overall? 19 games, like, keep this rolling, get to 26, 27, if that will allow with the games left. Like, just helps your case for the Hart Trophy, which we certainly care about.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep balling. He's doing a great job here the whole year, obviously, but here lately, he's been on fire.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about these quarterbacks and what could or could not be a smokescreen from the Denver Broncos, and maybe a smokescreen for a name that we haven't talked too much about that could land in Denver come draft night. Details on it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
It's a big sports night with the Avs hosting the Rangers. Of course, the Rockies will kick off their regular season tonight down in Arizona. Defending National League champs are those Diamondbacks. Be surprised how long it took us to remember that. Having a conversation here off the air. But it is a big night. We're going to get you set for everything that's going down, including the Sweet 16 kicking off tonight. You're going to get a handful of games this evening starting at just after 5 o'clock. And that means you have until just before 5 o'clock to go to denversports.com, our Sport Clips second chance bracket. It's available for you if you are out of the 5K bracket that we launched a couple of weeks ago. Well, fear not. Still got a chance at $1,000 plus a pair of tickets to every concert and the PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of them All up in Cheyenne. It's at denversports.com/hoops, but you have to be in. You have to have your bracket filled out by the time the first game tips off tonight. It's 5:09, but don't risk it. Just get that thing done before 5 o'clock this afternoon. Second chance at $1,000 and some sweet, sweet tickets right there. Shout out to Sport Clips for getting it done for us. All right, Stoke, I want to talk about a little bit about Jaden Daniels. And we haven't talked a ton about him. He and Caleb Williams kind of seem like out of reach. You know, now JJ is kind of feeling that way as well. JJ McCarthy, that is. But is there any chance You know, Sean loves New Orleans now. Any chance that all this could be a smokescreen and they have fallen in love with Jaden Daniels and are just getting us off their path?
Sure. I mean, you can love more than one.
Yeah.
Right?
Heck yeah. They got shows about that all the time.
Do they?
Yeah, like Love is Blind, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette.
The Golden
Bachelor.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Love Island.
Dumbest stuff ever, bro.
Singled Out back in the day on MTV.
It's just such trash. I mean, I just can't believe it. And I tell my wife this. She's watching it.
Yeah.
And then I'm there, and I'm like,
and
really?
You're watching it.
And then, like, I'm on my phone, and then I'm looking up, and then I'm watching it. I'm like, I can't believe Brad is going with Jennifer. And then I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Stop it.
We should get Kev on one. Love Island, Kevin Kistner?
I don't, yeah.
Maybe not Love Island, like The Bachelor.
Oh, okay. Why not Love Island? It's younger people.
Does it look like I could be on that?
You can't see
those guys
it.
All have like eight packs.
Yeah.
He displayed his body for us.
Yeah. True. Very true.
Way to be self-aware, Kev.
I mean, I could be more flexible there.
You have your cowboy hat and your boots and all that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Right. You'd be the big country guy.
Yeah.
Here comes Kistner.
That's right.
I'd be sending girls from the limo, but no, sorry. Next.
I don't think you should. No.
No.
I'm not sure you'd be doing that.
Okay. So, I mean, they could like two or three.
Sure.
Right. Maybe you really love two, and the other one, hey, we really like. And if he's there, we'll take him.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll move up to get, quote unquote, let's say Bo Nix, mm-hmm. but we love McCarthy and we love Jaden Daniels. That could be the case. And they also could love Drake May. Who knows? I mean, you might have three that you really love, but certainly, yeah, they could. This could be where we're at right now. I mean, that's this time of year. You're telling us. And people are thinking it's JJ, and then it's boom, nope, it's Jaden Daniels, or nope, it's Drake May.
And I started to look at some of Jaden's stuff. I mean, we know he's a dual-threat quarterback. I didn't realize the numbers that he had put up on the ground. I know what it was through the air. He had a 72% completion percentage. Honestly, it's closer to 73 than it is 72, but 3,800 yards. He threw 40 touchdowns and just four interceptions. Then he added 1,100 yards on the ground and 10 touchdowns with his feet, 8.5 yards per carry. I know it's different in the NFL and all that stuff, but the dual threat is
that's huge.
You don't want to be
reliant
upon his legs, but if it's there, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he's not reliant upon his legs, but he can certainly take off and burn you when he has to.
Exactly. I mean, it's anytime you have a quarterback that can make some plays off schedule, off script, I mean, that's a big deal. And you said it. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes. You look at, you know, these quarterbacks that can make some plays off schedule. Now, you don't want that guy to rely on that. And Russ relied on it too much. Russ wasn't able to operate within the pocket. But the off-schedule plays, that's big. And that's a backbreaker for a defense. When they got all the receivers covered, and then there goes the quarterback for 8 yards on 3rd and 7. And that's a huge momentum swing. So when you have a quarterback that can bring that to the field every week, yeah, that's now defenses have to account for it. Well, now we have to have a spy. Well, what does that mean? Well, you can't have, you know, two guys on Travis Kelce or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it frees up the other guys out there, and it makes their job easier.
I agree. I'm thinking about this morning, like, man, we don't talk a ton about him. He feels out of reach, but who knows what this looks like in the draft and how crazy it's gotten with JJ climbing and now Bo climbing, and who knows what it looks like in a month. The draft first round is a month from tonight.
So oh, wow.
Who knows what it looks like when we cross these next 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think you said it well there. Like, we don't know. Like, I remember, what was it, a few years ago, no one thought Mac Jones was going to fall all the way to, like, 15 to the Patriots, mm-hmm. right? And there he was. He just fell right in their lap. So, you know, we talk a lot about it. There's a lot of speculation. There are a lot of mock drafts. But once a draft happens, you just don't know how it's going to shake up and what it's going to look like and who's going where. So you have to do your homework on all these guys and be prepared. And maybe Jaden Daniels gone. Maybe J.J. McCarthy is gone. So you have to adapt after that. Well, it might be Drake May. Do you love him? Do you not? So I'm sure they're doing all their homework on it. But we don't know. It might be Jaden Daniels that falls. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers fell. Lamar Jackson fell to the end of the first round. Yeah. Who else fell? There was another guy that fell not that long ago. And So you have to be ready for that if you're the Denver Broncos. And it could be a guy that a lot of people were talking about that was rising, you know, 3 weeks ago in Jaden Daniels, and he's probably going to be the number two pick, if not the number three pick. But those guys can fall quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And it would be, like I said, I didn't realize the numbers were what they were running the football for Jaden Daniels. I knew he was a legitimate runner. I didn't know it added up to 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 8.5 yards per carry. That is impressive for a young. And then there's also the factor, Stoke, that I know it's talked about, but I feel like it's overlooked. Like, this dude's playing in the SEC.
Right.
Those guys are also going to be playing on Sunday. So that gap that you always talk about, the window of how open a receiver is in the NFL, and what they say, 6 feet, is that what it is? 6 feet in college, 3 feet in pros, whatever it is. It cuts in half. But he's used to that. He's already been acclimated to what that looks like, and it'll be a bit more difficult at the next level, but it's the same sort of talent he played on Saturday that he's going to go play on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't playing in the Sun Belt.
Right. All disrespect intended, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of my team's
edge. Well, that's why you can disrespect
it. That's right.
Yeah,
you can disrespect your own.
Yeah.
But it's SEC. It's a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best conference in football. From top to bottom, they've got a lot of talent. A lot of guys will be in the NFL, like you said. So, yeah, the competition, that definitely matters. So it's not like a man amongst boys.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all grown men there, and a lot of them will be playing in the NFL. And you know, you gave his rushing stats and talked about his passing. I mean, he did win the Heisman,
yeah,
you know. So
right.
he had a special year this past year. Yeah. He certainly did.
Did you know I used to be an SEC hater?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like big time.
Well, there's a lot of those out there.
There are?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know what it was, though? I grew up a tiny little bit, and I was like, oh, I'm just jealous.
Right.
Of what they got going on down there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because I'm a fan of the Big Ten, and I'm like, what?
Well, then you hate the SEC. That's perfect.
Doesn't look like that.
Right.
When I watch.
It's okay. Like, that's, you know, I mean, that's... It's okay to be jealous and to hate at the same time.
Okay.
All of that together. Yeah, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
But you don't hate them anymore.
No, I actually appreciate them. You're disappointed.
Yeah, I am. I mean, like, you grew and matured.
Yeah, right?
No, I want you to still hate them. Hate them for life. I look at the SEC, and obviously it's great football, and they do. They love their sports down south. And they put a lot of resources into their sports. I look at them like they're the stuck-up snobs.
Mm.
Like the rich, stuck-up, punk snobs that think they run everything.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, like, someone needs to smack them around a little bit. Like, just the arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
They're just arrogant, cocky.
Yeah.
I get it. You're at the top of the mountain. But it just, you know... It's like their birthright to be in the national championship game or like to be in the playoffs. I'm like, Alabama shouldn't have been in there.
No.
You know?
Well, they should have been over at Florida State.
No, you just said no. You disagreed with me.
Well,
you disagreed with me.
I knew you were going to do with the Florida State
That's
thing.
Right where I was going. Yeah. That's right where I was going. But they just think because we play in the SEC. Like they don't have, you know, Vanderbilt and Kentucky and like who else do they have that's bad football? South Carolina wasn't good this year, were they? I mean, like, you know, they got some bad teams over there. I got it. They got some good teams, but, you know, it's that stuff. That's what bothers me about the SEC.
I like that. I like that we both have things that bother us about the SEC. I also have to ask you something. I think Kevin has. Did you watch Ricky Stenicki yet?
Oh, no.
Come on, man.
No,
you saw Kev?
So good.
It's great.
Okay,
dude.
I know. What is it on?
Prime?
Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Okay. All right.
And it's great. Cena. I love
Andrew
Santino.
I know, but
Andrew
what am I, you know, I mean, like, dude, every night it's been sports.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't have time for Ricky Stenicki right now. Maybe.
Dude, first game doesn't start till 5. We get done at 2.
Bro, I got stuff to do. Oh. I got other things in my life besides, you know, Ricky Stenicki and sports. I do have another kid at home.
Okay, fair.
That I like a lot.
I was going to ask you what, and then you said that, so
right.
I'm glad I didn't.
Yes, I am still a dad. And my wife's around still. So.
She loved the movie, too.
Yeah, no, that's who I'm going to watch it with.
Yeah.
You think she'd like
she
it?
Would. She
okay,
would.
Okay,
like
so, like, so we'll watch it at one, but I got to find the time. Like, am I going to watch the Nuggets last night or Ricky Stenicki?
I get it.
Just right now. So it's kind of hard. Maybe on a, I don't know.
Maybe this weekend? Well, you got hoops, and it's going to be warm. You're going to be out.
Yeah, one evening or if the games aren't good or something.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll find time for it. I just don't know if it's like in the next 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
What if we put it out in the lobby out there for you? Like, skip the show and we'll just have you out there for a couple hours.
Well,
just Josh, couple you can hours. Go solo.
For a couple hours?
Just a couple hours.
But it's worth the watch.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really, really
Ricky
good.
Ricky Stenicki, Amazon Prime.
Go check it out right there. All right, let's take a timeout. I want to get to the Rockies coming up. I have a question. Two questions. Over under 59.5 wins, and what do you watch more of this summer? The Olympics or your local baseball team? We'll answer those questions next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I ain't heard you laugh like that in a long time. I wonder if it stopped this
way. All right, I asked a question here, Stokes. Want to hear your answer. Also want to get to the RamosLaw.com text line, see how y'all are feeling about it. A couple questions about the Rockies, who will start tonight in Arizona. Kyle Freeland's pitching. It is an 8-10 first pitch. It's also an Olympic year. Summer Olympics are in Paris.
Yeah, bonjour. Parlez-vous français?
No. Did you ask me if I speak French?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
No.
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 You just have to say it with an accent?
No.
I've never even been to Paris.
Me either.
What?
What do you mean? What? What does that mean? I don't like to travel.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Paris? I feel like Lana wants to go. You should take
her. Yeah, she does. She wants to go to Italy. That's where I got to go at some time, some point in my life. But no, I don't care about seeing the Eiffel Tower. I don't. Sorry.
Yeah.
I really don't. I won't remember it for very long. It's like when we went to Mount Rushmore. It's like, all right, we really did that for the kids, right? But you go there and I'm like, all right, there it is. Okay. Take a couple pictures. All right, let's go. Like, is that like a great memory for me? Because I could pull it up on this computer and take a look at it. I don't know. That's just the way I roll. Like, going to see something in person to me, like something like that's like, all right, that's cool. But
now what?
Yeah, now what?
Yeah.
Where are we going to drink some wine?
You didn't do the thing where you're like picking George Washington's nose in the photo?
No.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
You know what?
But going up there was cool. It was a cool spot. It was.
I'll take a picture of the fake Eiffel Tower this weekend when I'm in Las Vegas. Send it to you.
Okay.
Tell Lana I'm in Paris.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Well, the Olympics are happening. You have to pay to watch Rockies baseball. They lost 100 and something games last year. So what do you consume more, the Olympics or the Rockies?
Probably the Olympics.
Yeah?
Probably the Olympics, honestly. I won't consume a ton of Rockies this year. I just won't. You got to pay for it. You got to try to find it. They're making it too difficult for me for something that I'm like, it's going to be a bad product probably, unfortunately. If they become a good product now that will change, but I don't see that happening. Or if they have a good storyline, you know, remember Trevor Story, his rookie year, like, oh my gosh,
he hit
50 home runs in his first 10 games. It's like, oh, it's amazing. You know, unless something like that happens. But besides that, we'll be watching the Olympics. Even though to me the Olympics are, I'm like, who are we gonna watch? What are the storylines? Like, give me something here. Which I don't know who that is, but you know, I'll still watch track and field. I'll still watch swimming. I'll still watch, you know, whatever it is. More so than the Rockies. And it's free, right?
And it's free.
I hope.
Great point. Yeah. Yeah, it should be free. It's all they'll do like certain stuff on Peacock, but you don't have to have it to watch it. It'll air in a different time.
Yeah, Peacock anyway.
Yeah, it comes with the thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm probably with you. I'm one of the ones that gets down on the Olympics. Obviously, basketball's in it. I care about that. 3-on-3 hoops is in it. I was just reading this. Jimmer Fredette. It's actually the same team. They lost to Serbia.
What?
Yeah, 3-on-3 hoops.
That's dumb.
Why?
That's dumb.
That's not
basketball.
That's how they play internationally.
No, they don't.
It's a huge game, 3-on-3.
They play 5-on-5.
Yeah, but 3-on-3 is huge.
No, you just told
me
that's how they play internationally. Like you wanted me to buy that.
Well, it's not the EuroLeague.
Well, that's what you wanted me to buy. Like, no, that's what they do overseas, bro. They play on 3-on-3. I'm like, no, they don't.
It's much
bigger. You just lied to me. You just tried, like, you sound like my wife. You just made that up.
Well, we're both smart.
You just made that up to try to get me to believe that. That's what they do overseas. Like, no, they play
more
real
than
basketball.
We do.
Well, that doesn't mean that's what they do.
I think it is.
Everyone plays 5-on-5. That's how you play basketball. What are we, gimmicky sports and putting them in the Olympics? Next thing you know, we'll have skateboarding there.
You want to know another rule with 3-on-3 basketball? I actually don't like this. If we're playing 3-on-3 and you knock down a shot, the ball's live. So, like, you don't start it up. You check, like, you catch the ball and start passing, and you keep going. It's action all the time.
Well, what happens if I shoot the three, and then can a player from my team catch it?
No. I mean, it's live after that moment, but.
That's so, come on,
it's faster
man.
Pace. That's come what we on. Want. Yeah,
this is just terrible. That's terrible. That's, like, come on. What do we, no. Well, 3-on-3 basketball? Okay, we're going to make an Olympic sport. We're going to play 4-on-4 football. Like, come on. No.
7-on-7? Flag football's going to the Olympics.
So, and I don't like that either, honestly. But we have 5-on-5 basketball.
Yeah.
And now we have 3-on-3 basketball. Makes no sense. It's not an Olympic sport. It's a cute, fun sport. It's one of those, I don't know, what do you call it? Like an outlier, like...
Niche.
Yeah, niche.
Yeah.
Niche. It's a niche sport. That's what that is. But it's not an Olympic sport. 3-on-3 basketball is not an Olympic sport.
What if USA wins?
It's still not. I don't care. Wow. I don't care who wins. Wow. I don't care who wins because it's not an Olympic sport. You know what an Olympic sport is? Track and field. The 100 meter dash. The 200. The 400. The relays. The triple jump. The broad jump. Swimming.
You'd rather watch relays. All that than basketball?
Absolutely.
What?
Than 3-on-3 basketball?
Yeah.
No, that's not basketball, Josh. That's not basketball. Dr. James Naismith says it's 5-on-5. You can't all of a sudden give me 3-on-3. What are we going to start playing? Okay, 2-on-2. 8-on-8. Like, no. Basketball is 5-on-5. So, no, I'm not watching that. That's just, it's like... You're trying too hard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And when you try too hard, you turn me off even more.
Oh, okay. Like right? You're chasing it?
Right. When you try to force it on me, I'm like, oh, wait, whoa, why are you doing that? No. That's not, like, you're not going to, like, fool me to think that that's basketball. And I guarantee it's not good. It's not good. It's not, there's no way 3-on-3 basketball is good on TV. There's just no way. So have you watched it?
Yeah. Jimmer Fredette's on the USA team. They lost to Serbia in the last little tournament of world champions in the gold medal game.
Who else is on their team?
Two other guys.
That we've never heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the bench?
It's not like you've ever heard of anybody running the 400 meter.
What's the bench? Well, yeah, Michael Johnson.
That was in 1995.
Usain Bolt. Is he back? Is he back in action?
Yeah, he's in the senior circuit this year.
Where's Ben Johnson at? Give me a roided up Ben Johnson.
He's at Furs.
Carl Lewis.
AARP special for lunch is what he's doing.
No. Give me Carl. Where's Carl at?
Is he the guy that sang the anthem?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. He's also the guy that, was the fastest man in the world for a long time. So how many guys are on the bench here?
Five guys are on the team.
Five guys are on the team. Yeah, that's like... I mean, am I wrong here, people? I mean, let me know. I mean, am I way off base here? 303-713-1043. I just don't, like, I don't want to be the Mr. Negative and down on the, I'm not down on the Olympics, but 3-on-3 basketball, that's not basketball.
It's actually a nice little split. Here's a text. I like Stoke. I love this point of view. Stoke's my guy. It's so stupid.
It is, right.
And then
Thank you.
There's another text here that says, so Stokely loves men's springboard diving, but not basketball.
Did I say diving? I said swimming.
Swimming, of course.
I didn't say diving, okay. Buddy. I don't like diving. I don't. I don't like it, unless it's synchronized.
Oh, that is cool.
Unless
I'm
synchronized.
Down with that.
Or unless, if Greg Louganis comes back, I'm down.
Oh, okay.
Remember Greg Louganis hit his head on the diving board.
I know the name.
Yeah, no, great diver. If he comes back, I'll watch diving. But no, I like swimming. No, swimming's great. I mean, Michael Phelps was in that. That was the best. The best. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't like. I'm not. Diving's not at the top of my list. No.
I feel like with 2 years of training, any three of us are top five in diving.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I mean, come on, diving.
Yes, diving. Come on. Dude, you can't even bend down and touch your toes, man. You're gonna spring up like real high, get my arms don't even go over my, I mean, I'm all crooked. And then I'm like, you gotta touch your toes, you gotta go in the water perfectly. Come on.
Someone said, hey, Stoke, they got breakdancing in the Olympics this year.
Oh, my gosh. See, again.
I'm with you on this one.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. That's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Like, if you want to go on the X Games and do, breakdancing, okay, cool. That's not an Olympic sport, man. Come on. What are we doing? Stop, people. Please.
Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line. We didn't even answer the question of Rocky's over-under wins. I want to get to
that. Over-under wins, yes.
Coming
I got to make a wager on that.
Yeah, maybe this is what keeps us engaged.
Okay.
Details next.